The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. It is November 3rd. It is 8.05 a.m. We are broadcasting live from downtown Reading at the heart of downtown. And it is 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, KCNR, Your Talk Radio. I am also streaming live right now on Facebook. You can go to Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook, and you could watch this whole hour segment live if you'd like, or you could listen to it here. Of course, all of my radio shows are also archived at votekevincry.com. Again, that is votekevincry.com. Today we are going to have some various candidates for the city of Reading in studio. With me right now is the Honorable Mark Mazzano, current council member. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy to be here.
Great. Okay, so we're just going to jump in. We're going to spend about 10 minutes with you, and then we've got other candidates coming in right behind you. So we're just going to jump in with the first question. What experience qualifies you to represent the residents?
Well, I've been on the council for 4 years, and according to the people out there, I've done a pretty good job. Certainly, my experience with the California Highway Patrol after doing, almost 30 years, that's an effective position that gives you some leadership experience, and you need that on the council. I'm also involved in local community organizations like Kiwanis and Homeless Connect, where we're reaching out to the unsheltered every year, and we're making lives a little better a little bit at a time. And I think probably the biggest thing I like, and it's something that you learn in the Highway Patrol, is transparency. And I'm all about that. There's no backroom deals with me, and I'll continue to operate that way. So I think that puts me out there in the front row.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, second question I have for you is, what differentiates you from the other candidates? And then the second part of that is, how will this help you better serve the community?
Well, I think what differentiates me certainly is my experience. You know, as a government official, I've seen both sides of it, and I think there's too much overreach from our Sacramento government. I think we should have more local control. And if you understand that, then you work towards that. But I think the biggest thing that separates me from everybody else is the fact that, you know, after 29 years with the Highway Patrol, I'm retired. I work my council job full time. The $600 a month we get as a councilman, after taxes, it's like $400. That doesn't cover my gas bill as I travel around the city meeting with constituents. They're the ones making the decisions. They just give me the message, and I deliver it.
Yeah.
So, I look for collaboration. When I talk to people, I want their ideas. They're the ones that told me public safety was number one in 2020. They're the ones that told me that homelessness was number two in 2020. And that's what I worked on, and we've had some great strides.
That is awesome. And then, so what do you see as the most pressing issue, and what's your plan to solve it?
Well, I think the most pressing issue is still public safety. My initial feelers out there again this year tell me that it's public safety. And I say that because we're going into a $6 million shortfall come next year.
It's six?
It's six. $5 to $6 million is what the city manager is telling me. And so, look, people want to feel safe. And we've made great strides in public safety. We've gone to 122 sworn personnel. We've got some openings right now because we've got some retirements and some injuries. But we've authorized the PD to be 122 sworn, and all of our stats are going down. Larceny, aggravated assault, robbery, burglary, auto theft, they're all down the last time I checked with our authorities. You know, I think the second most important thing for us in Reading is housing, affordable housing. We don't have enough of it. It's all being bought up by certain individuals, and you can't get a place to rent in this town. It's very, very difficult. I met with several property company managers, and they're struggling. They're struggling to find housing for their clients.
Okay. So if reelected, what do you plan to accomplish in your first 30 days, first 90 days, or first year?
That took a lot of work, and I could tell you this. I'm going to organize a listening tour where I will travel throughout the city, contacting all five Rotaries, the Lions Club, Kiwanis, and then some civic organizations, and ask them, what do you want me to do this year? What do you want me to do? I got 2 years here. What do you want me to do? What's most important to you? And I think that once I do that, then I'm also going to host a couple of town halls at the city hall in the community room and invite the public. I'll do one in the morning. I'll do one in the afternoon, and I have to do another one. I'll do a third one, and I'll pay for it because I want the people to have a voice, and I'll bring them in to do that. And then we'll set some channels, some clear communication channels with city staff. I meet with the directors on a regular basis. When there's a problem out there, that's who I go to. I don't go to the staff. I go to the director because they're the one managing the workload within the city. That's the first 30 days. After that, you go into the 90 days, and I'm looking at developing some action plans to get this done. If you tell me this is a priority, Mark, now we've got to come up with a plan to make it happen. And that's the only way it's going to work. And I would say that if I could get more community engagement, and we had that. We had that during the council meeting where our mayor and another councilwoman wanted to get Aaron Hatch off the planning commission. You remember that?
I do.
They wanted him. They wanted his head on a platter. And I don't think he did anything wrong. He asked some questions. He was very polite and professional. But they tried to do that. And in that meeting, I looked at the city attorney and our city manager, and I just kind of was puzzled. And I said, finally, I had to say, this is not agendized. Now, according to the Brown Act, if it's not on the agenda, you can't talk about it. You have to give the people a voice. They didn't know we were going to do that. So we stopped it. And then after that, we put it on the agenda. But I got 125 emails from people, and they were all different. A lot of times we get canned emails from constituents, but these were all different, and they were all in favor of Aaron Hatch. So I responded to every one of them. 125 took me 6 hours.
Wow.
And I invited them all to come to the council meeting because they say your voice carries more weight than an email, and they did. When he started calling those names, I started looking at the stack of papers. I invited that person. I invited that woman, and they showed up. And guess what? Julie Winters changed her mind. She withdrew her objection, and Aaron Hatch is still the chair of the Planning Commission.
Yeah, it's amazing how people buckle under a little bit of public pressure. And that's the backroom stuff that just drives me absolutely nuts. Okay, so let's get to my next question I have for you. I got two more to get through in about 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
Describe a recent local decision you agree with and one that you disagree with. And you got about 45 seconds on each one.
Well, look, the green space, okay, that was a big thing for me, our tree committee and stuff like that.
Yes.
That's important in this community. We need that. We need to focus on that a little bit. The thing I'm probably most disappointed in most recently is the ad hoc committee. I didn't think it was necessary. The ad hoc committee to study the rodeo.
For the rodeo, okay.
It's very simple with me with the rodeo. They've got a lease. We just got to update it and get it done and get it signed and put it into plan, into action. Let's get going with that. We're kicking that can down the road.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you on that. Have you received, and this is what I'm going to ask all the candidates, have you received any donations or endorsements from any groups? If so, which ones?
Well, I have. You can't run a campaign. I mean, I put $10,000 of my own money in this one. And so, I reached out to people that share my vision. And the Redding Rancheria is one of those organizations that shares my vision. They supported me in 2020. They gave me $31,000. It's no secret.
Yeah, that was before they actually had
a campaign limit.
Yeah,
and this year they gave me $5,000. The limit's $5,500, but they gave me $5,000. But because we share the same vision for the city and their tribe.
And they're a government.
Well, they're a sovereign nation, and people don't understand.
They're not a special interest.
They might as well be Canada or Mexico or Italy. They're a sovereign nation. They're their own government, and they should be treated that way.
Yeah.
And we're not doing that, and that's unfortunate. We need to do that.
Okay, so let me ask you I got two more quick questions for you. One of them is your opponents did not show up today. What's the biggest differentiator between you and the other two that are running for the two-year seat?
Well, one of my opponents didn't show up in any of the forums except the last one. And I think that's disrespectful to the people that put those things on. You know, the people want to hear where you stand on a lot of issues, and if you don't get out there and talk about it, then what are you doing? I mean, that's for me. Be accessible.
Be accessible, absolutely. And then the last one, and I want just a straight answer. I don't want justification. I don't want clarification. It's a hard-hitting one. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
No.
Okay. With that, Councilman Mazzano, good luck. To you. I know we're here on the radio, so I'm going to say sayonara and then send in the rest of the candidates, please.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Have a great time. Thank you for the time.
You bet. Absolutely.
Oh, so, and before I forget.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm back in Heather Hadwick.
Okay.
All right. Back in Heather Hadwick all the way. I think she's our next assemblywoman.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. What we're going to do right now is we're on the radio. We're live. I'm going to tell you a little bit what we have coming up this week at the Board of Supervisors, and we do have a meeting this Thursday, and that's a night meeting at 5:30. Come on in, guys. I'm waving at the guys coming in. So at the that's a night meeting this Thursday. Both meetings in the month of November are going to be night meetings. We have a 5:30 p.m. on the 7th and 5:30 p.m. on the 14th. We do have a special meeting about the opioid dollars, and that will be November 12th, but I will be doing quite a few videos between now and then. Don't forget, I will go live tomorrow morning here on my Vote for Kevin Cry Facebook page at 7 a.m. Okay, now in studio with me is current councilman, appointed to the council about 6 months ago, ballpark, is Josh Johnson, and who I've known for, I don't know, 10, 12 years possibly, and then candidate Mike Latah, who I've known for 20, 25 years, played baseball together at Simpson, and known him quite a while as well. All right, so you must have won the Rochambeau to be to my left, so we're going to jump in, and or maybe you guys didn't do it. I provided everybody, if you're watching online, some questions here. And I do see there's a handful of you guys online continuing to put in questions, so keep those questions coming. All right, we're going to jump in. Dr. DeNuca called in. He is on call, and he thinks he's going to have to he might try and be here by 8:30, but if he's not, I don't care because you guys are here, and we're going to keep rolling. All right, so give me a 90-second introduction of yourself, Mr. Johnson, and why you are seeking to stay in office for the next 4 years.
Yeah, thank you for having me today, Kevin. I'm a builder here locally and raising my family, my girls here, and I want to see our city thrive. That's why I'm running. I want to kind of invest and give back to my community, and this is one of the ways I think I can do it. But more importantly, I think that we have some really critical things that are coming up in our community. We have a budget deficit, and we need some business-minded people at the council to understand how to look at budgets, understand how to find ways to keep our police and fire levels at the highest point possible, and also our community services, which are things that we all love. So one of the things that's unique about me that's different than other candidates is I'm actually in the trenches on the homeless issue day in and day out, and in economic development. I think we need to be on both sides of that. We need to be looking at our poor, but also doing things to help our economy grow. So that's kind of the focus of mine right now. Speed to permitting is a big one for me. Our development services department, we're a construction town, and we need to have less friction in the government at the permit center. And I've got some ideas and things I'm working with staff currently on. Let me tell you this, though. We have had a chance in the last 5 months to see what I'm about. The way that I've been able to work with the rodeo to get them to a letter of intent that's going to come before council in November. The way that I've been able to navigate the Big League Dream situation, which is now the Reading Sports Park. But also how I'm working with staff to be able to come up with solutions to help our budget. So that's what I want to continue to do. So thank you for time.
All right. 90 seconds, Mr. Latah, and go.
All right. Well, I've lived here since 1995. I came here to attend Simpson University, graduated in the year 2000. Kevin, we started the baseball program together many years ago. So I've raised all four of my kids here, been married for over 25 years. I've got a business that's been active for over 20 years in the insurance and financial services industry. We insure roughly about 10% of all the customers in town. I've served time in the U.S. Army as well. So I've been here for a lot of years. Customers, friends, family, they've seen me as a person in the middle of crisis. I've solved problems for many, many years. I've served on school boards, the California Soccer Park, Simpson University. And what people have been telling me for a lot of years is, Mike, you always have great ideas. You've got great solutions. You're a person that just listens really, really well to people. And you take ideas from all sides of the fence. And you would just be great. And they've been telling me this for years. And this is the season. This is the time to lead. And this is just such a great opportunity. But what I'm concerned about is public safety. I'm concerned about the fewer police officers on the streets. I'm concerned about less money to work with and seeing us go back to what it was in 2008 when we had less people in the street protecting this town. And I've been here for 30 years. I've seen Reading at its best, and I've seen Reading at its worst. And what scares me is to think we'll go backwards. And that's one thing I'm really committed to do when I lead, is making sure we don't go backwards and we go forward in Reading.
Great. Okay, so we're going to start with you since Josh opened. Okay, so both of you own and operate businesses in the private sector. Accountability in government is something that I believe is very, very low. Convince the viewers and listeners that you have what it takes to hold city employees accountable if there is subpar performance. You got 1 minute.
Well, the first thing is transparency, is just being very, very open to the public. And when we ask questions and we talk to people, is just being really on the forefront and making sure everybody is really aware of what's going on. You know, for me, I'm a person I would love to be seen as a swing vote, you know, an independent thinker, a person that's going to make decisions that are never aligned with one person or one group. And that's what people can count on, is that I will have independent thinking, but how I'm going to make decisions and readiness, really just to listen to other people and to their ideas, and to not be aligned with one group or one person, is just really sit back and think about what's best for the city, and how I'm going to ask questions and consider decisions is number one, saying, is this good fiscal responsibility for the city already when we make decisions? How does this impact staff and admin? And how does this impact people? You know, so there's going to be a lot to take into account of, really, how does this benefit people and how can we listen?
Perfect. Thank you. Josh, would you like me to reread it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Both of you own and operate businesses in the private sector. Accountability in government is something that I believe is very low. Convince the viewers and listeners that you have what it takes to hold city employees accountable if they have less than subpar performance. 1 minute.
Yeah, I think that a lot of that starts with relationship. If you're not meeting with your directors, if you're not spending time with the staff, then you don't have the ability to influence. If you can't influence, then you're going to try and ask a ton of questions on the dais. My approach is to criticize in private and to praise in public. And so some of that is going to mean that I'm going to be spending a lot of time with our finance director, our public works director, our development services directors, and any of those areas where I want to try and influence the direction, I'm going to do that in those meetings. And I think that that is where I've had success in the past to influence those directions. And if there's actually subpar performance, then that's a conversation between me and the city manager, because it's his job to make sure that performance stays high.
All right. Good morning, Dr. Nuka.
Good morning. Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, gentlemen.
Actually, I know you being on call. Did you wash your hands before you came in? No, I'm just kidding. All right. If anybody knows his field of medicine, you'll get that joke. Okay, we're gonna jump right in, and I'm going to give you extra time at the end to talk a little bit about yourself. So the question I have for you right now that has already been asked by these two gentlemen is, you own and operate a business here in the private sector. Accountability in government is something that I believe is very low. Convince the viewers and listeners that you have what it takes to hold city employees accountable if they have subpar performance. 1 minute.
It's a good thing about running a business is business holds you accountable, because eventually you have to balance the checkbook. You have to balance, pay everyone, the vendors, the suppliers, the staff. So you have to sign the front of the checkbook, and you don't get paid if you can't be accountable. Not only that, you lose your shirt on it if you are not accountable. So that's in our blood, running a business. So that's how we want to make sure that city does everything cost-effective manner.
Okay, great. Okay, this is a yes or no question. And do you guys have any follow-ups for each other about that last question? Nope. Okay, great. Moving on. Yes or no, we'll start with Josh, then we'll go to Dr. Danuka, then we'll go to Mike. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to call you guys Mr. Johnson and Mr. Latal. He's a doctor. He put a lot of time in. He deserves the doctor part. But you guys are Josh and Mike. All right. Are you open to having a meaningful discussion about the Reading Regional Airport and becoming a truly regional airport, and explore it becoming run by an airport authority?
Yes, I already met with your CEO.
Perfect.
Yeah, we want to be something like Medford, at least.
There you
Maybe
go.
Better than that.
Yes, if we can do things better, why not?
Perfect. Okay, meaningful discussion. I love that. Okay, next question. We'll start with you, Dr. Danuka. At the county, we are taking a look at the distribution of basically $39 million over the next 15 years in opioid settlement money. Reading, or Shasta County, has many not-for-profit organizations. Charity Navigator is the premier watchdog organization for information for donors. Its highest rating or score that it gives out is 4 stars. One component to achieve that rating is an organization has to have an overhead of roughly 15% or below. That means your admin costs are below that. Do you feel nonprofits should not be eligible for money if they're pushing 20, 25, 30% and above of admin costs?
Actually, my preferred...
I'm sorry, 1 minute. I'm going to give you guys 90 seconds. 90 seconds.
My preferred number for that would be under 10% for overhead, actually. 15% is a bit too high, but it's fine, okay? 15% is a max it should be. I actually always feel that there should be accountability for all the money which is used by anyone, nonprofit or business. And I completely agree with that there should be one of the parameters in evaluating your function is not just the overhead. I will add something more to it, cost effectiveness. Every person you're helping, how much money are you spending in it? And there is actually very clear calculations available for a word called cost effectiveness. For example, in healthcare, if you do a test, let's say mammogram, so you have to prove that it's not just effective, it's cost effective. And that should be a criteria used for all the money spent by county or city.
I appreciate that. Thank you. You want the question reread?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. So at the county, we are taking a look at distribution of basically $39 million over the next 15 years in opioid settlement money. Reading or Shasta County has many not-for-profit organizations. Charity Navigator is the premier watchdog organization for information for donors. Its highest rating or score it gives out is 4 stars. One component to achieve that rating is an organization that has to have an overhead cost of roughly 15% or below. That means your admin costs overall are 15%. Do you think that the county or any organization should be receiving money if their admin costs are below, I mean, are above 20, 25, upwards of even 30%?
Yeah, I mean, my first pulse is we want every organization to be accountable to do what's right with the money and do the best thing with the money. I'd hate to lock anybody in a box. There might be good rational, good reasoning why their administration costs are more than 15%. And I think if you're making decisions from the county level, I say if somebody's above that percentage, then allow flexibility for you to ask the question why, you know, because they may have good reasoning why their expenses are higher. So without just a firm yes or no, why not just allow step two and just ask the question, okay, we like your organization, we like what you do, we like the concept of what you're going to do, but explain to us the rationale of why your costs are higher. Because, again, it allows transparency to ask the question and to be engaged. And ultimately, donors, that's how we decide how to give money, you know, to different organizations out there. The commercials we see on TV, you know, everybody's asking for money. But that's always my first question that I'll have anytime I contribute money is, what are you really doing with the money? Is most of the money actually going to what you say you're going to do with it? Or is 98% of the funds really going to strictly administrative costs and just covering a payroll?
Thank you. Yeah. Josh, same question.
So, Kevin, what do you think that they're defining administrative costs to be? What's in that category?
Overhead in terms of admin fees,
so finance,
staff,
directors.
Directors, mostly staff, not so much the building.
Okay, but what about case management? So let's say your program that you're actually doing has employee staff that actually is going, like, programming the outcomes of that
people that
individual.
People that have direct contact with the individual. So the service providers, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't put in there. Okay, correct. Great. Cool.
But it's that layer of admin.
Yeah, I agree. No, I think that the nonprofit that I would look at, I look at it like an ROI. So a return on investment in the nonprofit space would be the most amount of dollars going to the thing that you're giving to. I think that we should be driving those numbers down. So to answer your question, I would say, yes, I would like to see us not continue the homeless industrial complex, for instance, is something in the state of California that has gone way out of hand. And I like how we're moving here in Reading. I think that we're doing a great job at analyzing those things. I think we're doing a great job at asking our nonprofits tough questions from the dais, but also partnering with them, not just asking tough questions, but also saying, hey, I see in this budget here that you've got this. Why don't we go this route with that? Why don't we see if there would be a community partner to help with that? Why don't we do this and to bring those costs down so our dollars can go further?
Great. Okay. I think Mike, we're on with you now. If elected, what do you plan to accomplish in your first 30 days?
Well, I've talked a lot about downtown parking. And when I talk to business owners downtown and just ask a real sincere question, how would you feel about taking your free parking lot and putting a meter on there? Do you think that will benefit your business or do you think it will detract customers? If you ask sincere questions to the mall, you know, the Mount Shasta Mall, there's no chance they would put meters in their parking lot because it's going to drive less traffic. And that's one thing I hope to bring to council discussion, saying, let's just revisit the downtown parking situation and see if we can find ways to support a business downtown and help them thrive and grow.
Great. Josh, same question. If elected, what do you plan to bring in your first 30 days?
In our first 30 days, I want economic incentive policies, number one. Building that out, I think, is critical. That goes beyond Stillwater Business Park so that we can, you know, we have two levers of revenue in the city that benefit the whole community with our parks and our police and fire, and that is property tax and sales tax. We can do some direct things that can impact those two categories of revenue sources, and those property values have gone up, but sales tax has gone down. But we all love our parks, and so we don't want to lose those services. So I think we need to be doing things on budget cuts, but also things to increase revenue, and I've got some great ideas. I've actually written about it and talked about it pretty at length.
Okay. Dr. DeNuca, same question. If elected, what do you want to bring or accomplish in your first 30 days?
Setting the culture and providing a clear vision for our future. By setting the culture, I mean it has to be a uniting culture, not division. That's the first thing I want to bring to the city council. And actually, we have done, you know, all these gentlemen, we have done this very well. We have talked with each other about the plans. And, you know, Josh called me a few days ago about my medical plan. So I appreciate working with these gentlemen about working together and helping each other out with ideas. So that's what one thing I would like to do, to promote that culture of working together, not against each other. Second thing is a clear vision of the plan, and we need to have the plan for economy and healthcare and public safety. But overarching theme has to be, how do we make Reading an inspiration for our next generation, and how do we make it a destination for the nation? That's what I want to bring to first 30 days.
Great. All right. This next question, I believe, is for Josh. So we're going to get into campaign finance. And it is expensive to run a campaign. I know. I ran basically four in a short amount of time, three elections. So have you received any donations or endorsements from any groups? If so, which ones? And that could be if they've supported you and or have they given you money. And I'm going to give it 90 seconds.
So are you talking about a group or individuals?
Both.
Okay. There's quite a bit of few individuals, so I might miss some.
Well, you don't have to give individual. Okay. I'm talking about like groups. Like,
groups?
Yes.
Yes. So the Paskenta Tribe provided funding, a max contribution. Sierra Pacific provided only $250 because they have, now there's a law, 1439, SB 1439. You can't give more than $250 if you have contracts with the city. So they have subdivisions. Local 185 union, laborers union. So I think those are kind of the big ones.
Okay. Dr. DeNuca, same question.
I'm going to need more than 90 seconds for this. I have received like hundreds of contributions. Most of them are individuals. Most of them are small, ranging from $5 to $3,000. But there's a whole long list of that. From the groups, I have received one from Reading Republican Shasta GOP, which has, I'm the sole endorsed person from them, and they have given me $2,500. I've also received $5,000 from the Reading Ranch area, and that's the only group I have, those are the only two groups I have received the money from. But the total amount I've received is close to $70,000, so none of them are a significant part of my contributions.
Okay. Mike, same question.
Well, I haven't spent a lot of time focusing to raise money, and that's probably been my weakness. I've been focused on really trying to win an election. But as far as any specific groups, I've not taken any money from groups yet, but there is a check waiting for me at the Reading Rancheria. Tomorrow we will go pick that up, and I have 24 hours to decide what we're going to do with that. But I'm leaning to accept that money, understanding that just every major candidate has taken money at this point. And I'm the only person that hasn't, so why wouldn't I take that money to help pay off my campaign? So, you know.
I understand. Is there any follow-up questions anybody has?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead.
To both of you, so there's a project that the Rancheria is doing that I think is really interesting, which is their health clinic. Do you realize that you would not be able to vote toward a utility agreement for the health clinic if you received that money? You would have to give back everything minus $250.
To give the money back.
Yeah.
We'll start with Mike to the left.
Yeah, I think that's debatable. There's two different thoughts I've heard on that. But, however, any proposal, let's assume worst-case scenario that we could not vote on that. And you're referring to a state law there, Josh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one clause in that law says that would be for 12 months. And we haven't seen a proposal. I've not heard of a proposal coming. But, you know, one thing I've heard is that's certainly debatable. Whether
I just want to say, because at the State of the Tribe, where Kevin was there, I think most of you guys were there, they actually have construction documents that are very, very soon to be before us. They need that utility agreement very soon. This is not about the I-5 casino. This project is very, like, ready to – it's shovel ready, and it's going to need votes. So we could not have a quorum, potentially, depending on how this election goes.
And well, I'll let Dr. Danuka answer, and then I have a thought about that.
A lot of thoughts come to mind on that. Over the years, I have seen people voting on the agenda when they've actually received more than $250 in the last 6 months or 12 months, and they've never disclosed it. They have never recused themselves, which I think is inappropriate. But that's aside. For me, I really don't care. For me, this $5,000 out of $75,000, you know, it's a small amount. I don't mind giving it back if necessary. And for me, I respect Redding Manchuria's support for me. I'm honored to have their respect and their support. They have spent millions and millions of dollars in this county, and they have supported a lot of charities in this county. I'm absolutely happy to work with them, but if the law requires me to return that money, I'm happy to do that. You know, I myself spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in this community on different causes, including from Turtle Bay to Simpson to a lot of Shadow Planetarium. For me, $5,000 is a small amount. But I do want to ask a question here. And this brings me to this kind of elephant in the room. Redding Rancheria has been very supportive of our community for years and years, and millions of dollars they have spent. My question is, what has Rolling Hill Casino done for our community? Have they done anything good for our community? Have they been part of our community building, done any charity work for us? Why should they interfere in our election? And I know, Josh, I mean, it's not nothing to do with you alone, but I see them over the years spending so much of money trying to influence election. It kind of makes me feel sad that what have they done for us?
Yeah.
And why are they doing that?
Is that a question for Josh or
for just an open question?
Josh, you want to answer that since the Corning Tribe is the only one that's backed you?
Yeah, I don't really look at it that way. This is right now we're in a race. It's a competitive race. One tribe gave money to all of my competitors, and I wanted to stay neutral. And near the end, someone else wanted to give me money to compete. They didn't ask me for a vote. They didn't even talk to me. I think that there's. The question is we need more impartial people in there that aren't having quid pro quo donations. And I just want to sit at the table face to face with people and negotiate in good faith. And so I hope that we all can do that, right?
Yeah. No, and I agree with that. And one thing I'll say about that, no matter what you guys say or what law, FPPC is who you want to call. You just want to call the FPPC and ask what you can vote on. And I agree. If it comes down to something, the amount of time, doors you guys have knocked on, dollars you've spent on ads. I mean, you give it back so you can keep your vote. Okay, we're going to move on.
Yeah, just if I just make something. And it's just not about you, but I'm just saying about the Rolling Hill Casino spending so much money on so many candidates. It's not just about you. They have given to, you know, they've really spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years. That is something which. And they have no economic activity in our area, and they have no business being in that area. So that's what I'm talking about. It's not just about it. I just want to be clarified.
Absolutely.
And well, we need to look at this as a community.
I'd love to have we can have a whole debate about that and economic benefits, pros and cons around tribes. That would be an interesting deep dive, but maybe not for today.
Yeah, not for today. But I will say, you know, for me, like, I'm very pro-tribe, and I said this way back in my primary election when I was running in 22. You know, I went before, like we all do, we go before groups and say, hey, you know, I would like your support, I would like your vote. But I said, hey, whether you guys support me or not, I'm going to support you because when the economy tanked in 2007 and 8, and I was involved in youth sports, almost every jersey, almost every T-shirt you saw from a youth soccer, youth baseball, softball, et cetera, all had Redding Rancheria Wind River Casino on the back of those shirts and jerseys. And I remember that vividly.
Because, so, can I ask you a question on that? Real quick.
I'm interviewed. Okay, go ahead.
It's a discussion, not an interview. I'm just wondering. Because I appreciate that. Like, I love –
And the car fire and what they did for kids.
And there are other big organizations in town who also stepped up in those low times. And I think the Rancheria is one of them, and I think that's incredible. Does that mean that every idea they have is best for the community?
Not at all. No, see, personally, okay. I didn't like them moving. But what I like is I like private property rights. Mm-hmm. I like people being able to have their own private property and do with it what they want. And that kind of went back to my question earlier is when I see just corruption at the highest level in cities and counties and it going unaccounted for really, really bothers me. And what happened with Councilwoman Reznor, Winter, Schrader, and McIlvaine, what they did during that time is deplorable. And I will say, since you asked me, is at the county, they were trying to do this for years, and it got blocked. And then you saw a sitting supervisor flip their vote because they were playing politics. And I won't get into that right now, but that's the, you know, that's what bothers me is let's just do the right thing. I don't like them moving. I like them being off of I-5 personally, but private property is private property. So let me jump to the next one. I know we're going to move on. We're going to move on. Okay, measures P and Q. And I'm not going to hit on Q. I'm going to, even though that's a very relevant one because the seat vacated by Mr. DeQuisto is very similar to this process. But measure P, eminent domain, is it a yes or a no? Mike, I'll start with you.
I'm truly undecided on that. So it's something I'm still reading up on, and I don't know.
Okay, measure P, Josh.
Eminent domain.
Yesterday.
That you can't – so I'm trying to remember what it was.
Okay.
That you can't – so the government can't take eminent domain and then sell it to a private party ever in the future?
The government cannot take your private property and give it to another private individual to sell or develop.
At any time in the future?
Correct. Private property. Correct.
I'm a no.
You're a no.
Well, eminent domain is to be used very carefully and cautiously, and it's used for public purposes, but – sometimes it's abused also, and Measure P is trying to prevent that.
Correct.
I feel that we should have a Measure P.
Yes or no, Doc?
Okay. Well, I'm personally going to vote yes for that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I wrote it, so Mike, you have to read up on it.
Yep.
Josh is a no, you're a yes. And I wrote it, so it's really simple. What I'm saying is your private property is your private property. The government can never take it. Okay, so just voters need to understand that. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to segue into the rodeo grounds at this point.
Just to clarify that, government can take it for public purpose but cannot give it to another private person.
Correct.
That can still be for public purpose, though.
Well, that becomes abuse and debate.
I understand, but in the future, 50 years from now, a lot can change.
Well, I refuse to debate as the moderator. So I think that is, I mean, that's essentially a big portion of why I rant, was because I don't want the government telling me and my family what to do about anything, other than, like, you know, you can't speed through a red light or you can't kill somebody with no consequences. But anyway, we're going to move on. All right, the rodeo grounds, and I'm going to give this 2 minutes because I want to give especially Councilman Johnson more time because he is in that thick of that. I personally do not agree in ad hoc committees. I believe things go to committees to die. Ad hoc committee was created for the rodeo lease process. Where are we today, and do you agree or disagree with the current direction? We're going to start with Mike.
Yeah,
two minutes.
The optics, first of all, I hate the fact that it's become a political issue right before an election. You know, and for me personally, I just wish this would have been solved a long time ago. I think this should have been discussed you know, well before the election, well before this summer when this issue came up. And me personally, I kind of feel like it got a little bit more traction and heated issue when I raised that issue up in June or July and people started listening. And that's when the issue actually started being talked about. But as far as a long-term lease, they've been here for now 76 years, not just 75. And they're an economic staple to the community. They're part of our heritage. They're part of what we do. And it's a well-known fact that when rodeo is happening, the hotels are full, the restaurants are busy, money is being spent, and everybody is making money. And why would we not support them being here for another 76 more years? Again, they're a staple and heritage to our community. So I fully support a long-term lease. I think they're in the best spot right there, and I would hate to see them go back to the Anderson Fairgrounds or somewhere else away from this community. And I'm a big supporter of rodeo. My family loves rodeo. We love the pancake breakfast. So we just love everything about them. And the opportunity to see them get a long-term lease and for them to grow, add more seating, people are going to spend more money, and it's going to drive more tax revenue to the city. And we do need more tax revenue. So anything we can do to support rodeo and to respect the heritage of them and then allow them to be here for so many more years and continue to represent Reading, I'm all in for that. And that lease should have been done a long time ago. And, you know, we're slightly concerned what's going to happen after the election because the council is going to change. And, you know, that ad hoc committee, what happens to that ad hoc committee and what happens to the people that are driving that discussion of the long-term lease after the election when we're going to have some results? And we don't want to see that process just slow down. It should have been settled before the election.
Thank you. Josh, 2 minutes.
Well, just to point out, it will be settled before the turnover of the next council, and I don't think it's a concern because every candidate has said they're pro-rodeo. So, really, I think they're in a great place. You know, the reason why we did the committee was because what was being asked of was a long-term lease to be voted on without looking at it. I think that's bad policy. But we are pro-rodeo, so getting to the table with two council members, that's already two of your three votes. We negotiated over the last – we've probably spent 30 hours together going through this. This is money. This is this time and money spent to get this long-term lease done. And it will, it actually got better. I think that our partnership got stronger. We were able to have conversations they've never had before. And if you talk to Ted Bambino and Baron Browning, they'll tell you that it has been super productive and very enlightening. We now are planning other events together. I think that after this lease, we're going to have a liaison position with the city of Reading and the rodeo. So I think that I couldn't be happier with where it's at. Whether or not I win or lose, I'm very proud of the work we put in on that for the community at large. And I'll say 2 years ago I voted for the land surplus, but that was because I thought the rodeo was staying there, and that's what K2 had plans for. So now we're fast forward. We're still having the rodeo at those grounds, and I'm glad with the progress that we have. And I think we're going to be having it on the agenda in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Great. Dr. Danuka, same question. Two minutes.
Rodeo should be there, and that question should not have been there, that whether they are forced to move or not. But that's past. There was also some rumblings that how come Advance Reading gets a longer-term lease and not rodeo over the last couple of years. So what the elephant in the room is, people feel that they're not being heard or they're not being... their opinion is not being valued. And when I've attended the Riverfront Plan meeting, people are very clear about it, that do not develop that part of land north of 44. Mm-hmm. Keep it the way it is. Keep the rodeo there. And we need to respect that. And we need to not just respect that, but we need to show it to people that we mean it and not just stringing them along. But I'm glad that the better sense is prevailing with some public pressure. And that shows us the value of civic engagement and a public pressure that can actually make the people change their mind in the governance. And I encourage your audience and everyone to stay engaged.
Stay engaged, absolutely. Is there any follow-up question you guys have for any candidate?
No? Well, I guess with that, I'm curious what's going to happen in 2 or 3 weeks if that's to be brought back to the council. So is that going to be finalized at the next city council meeting? Or
so no, so finalized. So I don't know if you guys have done commercial real estate. I think the doctor has, and you have had commercial real estate leases before. You start with an LOI that everyone can understand and read. That'll be on the agenda with all the terms. And then the city attorney takes it from there, works with the city manager to get it to a finalized lease. They expect that to likely be somewhere around in the January timeframe. But what we're also doing is a lot of addendums with like a parking plan that will allow for events to happen at the rodeo and the civic at the same time, and how will that look so that we can continue to have more entertainment down on the river in those spaces.
Great. All right.
So my only follow-up question, not for you, but in general would be for the city council previous, would be that those things could have been done for last 1 or 2 years. Why did it have to require a public pressure to build That's what public asked the question about. And it's not for use for generally, you know, the last 2 years.
Well, I mean, but they did negotiate a previous short-term extension that actually came up before, and that was with a previous executive board at the rodeo. I don't know if you're aware of that. And the new executive board wanted to bring it back up because they didn't like that extension and the terms in there. And so that's why it came back forward.
Oftentimes what I think is a lot of elected officials don't like taking a position because that means they're accountable to it, personally.
Yeah. I personally think they wanted to bring it back to discussion because they were concerned what was going to happen with the property and the unknowns, you know. And it became more of an ongoing discussion and issue over the past, you know, 2 and 3 years. And, I mean, when there's conversation that says, you know, you may have to go somewhere else. You know, I would be interested in longer-term lease. I'm a business owner, and I always think about my own building. And am I going to have to move in a year, or am I going to be able to be here for the next 5 years or 10 years? And that's how I plan and I organize my own business, is just thinking futuristic, because I have to make sure I'm going to be here and I've got a place to operate.
You know, and also, you cannot finance any improvements unless you have a long-term lease.
Yeah, and now they're at the table. So now they're required to be at the table because of this long-term lease, which is great for the community.
Yeah. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to – we have one more question, 1 minute each, and then I want to give you guys – actually, I'm going to give – this is going to be a 30 seconds because I want to make sure I give you guys plenty of time to plug your social media and talk and to give some closing remarks. So what experience qualifies you to represent the residents, Dr. DeNuca?
Well, having taken care of hundreds of thousands of people and family in our community, I have connection with all kind of people from different backgrounds, and I see their humanity, and they have put their trust in me, and I've seen their vulnerable side also. So I know that what hurts all of us is same. What joy we all of us have is same. And I want to bring that uniting thing in that. And that's something which has lately been lost in our community and the country. So I want to bring that back, that trust and the uniting.
Thank you. Mike, same question.
Well, it goes back to, you want a candidate that's lived here for a long time. I've been here for 30 years. I've served with many organizations, school boards, the California Soccer Park, Simpson University. People know me in the community. I mean, not to say I'm a household name, but a lot of people know me, and they've been telling me this for years, and that's the driver of my success. That's the driver of why I should really be here to serve people, is because I've been trusted for 30 years in the community. I've lived here longer than anybody else, and people have faith in me. And so that's what led me to run for city council, is just the proven experience and the people having full faith in me to do this.
Thank you. Josh, same question, 30 seconds.
I think that we need candidates that are going to know how to get things done. We need government to work for us. That's the kind of person that I am. I appreciate length of time being in town, but also being able to know how to get the work done. Do you understand government enough and the private sector enough to know how to stand in the middle as a liaison to get things done? Not all ideas are good ideas and are possible. You have to know how to do it within the government space.
Perfect. All right. Mike, you have 1 minute to give us any closing remarks, social media, whatever you'd like to share with the voters.
Well, good. I do want to remind everybody, I'm a local business owner of over 20 years. I've raised all four of my kids here, married for almost 25 years, served time in the U.S. Army, a Simpson University graduate. I'm ready for this, and people have been telling me that. But as you're running city council candidate, one of the first things I plan to do is revisit the downtown parking situation and ask some questions to see what we can do to improve business, to improve the long-term ability to be in downtown. And I'm going to listen to everybody. That's my strength. That's what everybody tells me, is, Mike, you're so good at listening to people on all sides of the fence, and you're willing to take ideas and see if there's value to that stuff. That's how we're going to work together. We're going to solve Reading problems together by listening and being a good voice for you. For me, let's just recognize that I'm going to bring groups to the table. Really, we're going to make Reading really fun again. We're going to make Reading fun and enjoyable place that we want to be here for a lot of years, where we can bring our kids, children, and families together. Visit my webpage at votemikelatod.com and check out more information, and you can contact me with any questions you'll have.
Thank you. Josh.
Yeah, so I've had the privilege of serving on a lot of boards and associations. When I lost 2 years ago, I doubled down in my community involvement, got involved with the Good News Rescue Mission Board of Directors, Planning Commission, the Reading Police Department Citizen Academy, Shasta Board of Realtors, Legislative Committee. I helped hire our fire marshal on that committee. I helped to build the Lake Reading volleyball courts. and was on that project. West Reading Little League board member, and part of the general plan that we just updated, and the Community Action Board. So I just doubled down. That's what I want to continue to do. You can follow me at joshforreading.com. I'm on Instagram at joshuajohnson_life, and also on Facebook. You can look up Joshua Johnson Reading, and I'll come up at the top there. So I really appreciate everyone's support. Thank you for having me on today, Kevin.
Absolutely. Okay, Dr. Danuka, you have, and we actually may have time for another question or two, because we're doing great on time. You have 2 minutes to share just about yourself, your experience, of course, your social media handles, et cetera, since you didn't get that at the top of the hour when we all came in. So 2 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin. So I have been running for nearly 20 years, along with my wife, who's a cancer doctor. We have raised 3 children here who graduated here. I've been a member of my church here locally and served as a president of North Valley Medical Association and on many boards in the community, have helped a lot of charitable organization and nonprofits do some good work here. At this point, we have been very blessed in our community. I feel that I have received much more than I could ever imagine from this community. And we want to give back to our community now. We want our children to want to come back to this community. That's why I'm running. So some of the challenges which Reading face, like shortage of healthcare workers and doctors, public safety, homelessness, mental health. I really want to work on this local bread and butter issue. And I'm very proud of that, that our campaign has focused on that, has brought that to front burner, the local bread and butter issue. So we need to bring more doctors, healthcare workers. My plan is to bring a medical and mental health and drug rehab facility, and also in long-term a medical school. But I can't do it alone. I'm very proud and very honored that I have received the full endorsement from Shasta GOP as well as Shasta County Republican Assembly, CRPA. But I've also received the support from the left of the spectrum in our community, civil rights leaders, and more than 50 civic and business leaders, more than 5 mayors. So I'm very honored to receive that. But I need the help of each and every person in our community. I humbly ask for your support and your vote. You can go to my website, drpauldanuka.com, and please vote for me.
Can you, spell Danuka? Just so. maybe you should be able to spell Latat. I'll have each of you guys give your website. I mean, if you can't spell Johnson, then you got issues. But how about Danuka? Go ahead. Do your spell out your website. We have time. We have another 2 minutes.
Dr. Paul Danuka, DHANUKA dot com.
All right. And then Lita is MIKELITTAU.
And I'm really proud that you pronounced my last name correctly.
It's Lita. For me, it's just get the ball over the plate and quit walking people. That's what it was for me in college. And then, Josh, do you have any, with your website, go ahead and give it. It's Josh for Reading.
Josh for Reading, but it's FOR in the middle, not the number 4.
There you go. It can't be confusing. Well, I'll tell you guys, this is, one of the things for me that I like the most about being in the position I'm in is I like to be able to bring people together. I like to be able to sit and have the discussions. I think all of you guys are fantastic individuals and men that actually stepped up, wanted to serve your community, and already are serving your community in a lot of different ways. I'm almost 50, so I'm going to get to know Dr. Danuka in a much different personal way here probably soon. But seriously, thank you guys for coming on. Thank you guys for being brave enough to put yourself in the hopper. And, you know, if, in fact, I wind up working with you guys in a governmental capacity, Josh and I have not sat on any boards or commissions yet together.
Cab.
That's right. When you were way before you were in office. That's right.
Yeah, I'm still on that board.
Yeah, that's a terrible board.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. But I digress. What I will say is you guys are great. Reading is great. Shasta County is great. The rest of California, not so much. But we can make Shasta County as great and as beautiful, and you guys are, two of you guys will be tasked quite possibly with making Reading the best it can be. So for that, I appreciate you guys. Remember, everybody, and you're watching online right now, but I will be live on Facebook tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., and I will have a recap of some of this, and make sure you log in. And for those listening online, for Mike Ricker,
one of my favorite supporters in New Mexico, or my Uncle Bud down in Riverside, Yorba Valley. Good luck with surgery tomorrow. Love you, Shasta County, and you guys all have a great week.
Thank you.
And every time we pull up, all you're gonna see is a man raking.